So I can call a volunteer up here. So are you ready, Cecil?
Sure.
Not quite yet. I'll call you up later. Dwayne said to say, make sure you tell people what cheeks you're talking about. So I told him that, right? So I was thinking about the sermon, and this weekend I happened to watch the movie Hacksaw Ridge. Anybody seen that movie? Yeah. You know, it's the story about a conscientious objector. It's Desmond Doss. He joins the military to be a medic, but he refuses to pick up a rifle. Of course, they almost kick him out, but he gets to remain in, and he ultimately risks his life time after time after time to save his fellow soldiers who have been so injured in the war. They've been left because the rest of their soldiers had to get out and retreat. And it was such a contrast that I looked at. Here on one hand, that's got to be one of the goriest movies I've ever seen, by the way. You know, you've got people losing limbs and being blown up and dying on the battlefield, right? And here he is, you know, saving lives, trying to do what's for the greater good, to bring something good out of what's happening, you know. And so, and then I keep thinking about these three things then that Jesus says in here, you know, which somehow we've brought into our culture, I kind of believe incorrectly, and we'll talk about that. How often do we hear it? An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Or if anybody strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other one also. And if anyone takes your coat and sues you for your outer garment, then give them your undergarment as well, right? And if one of the occupational troops makes you carry his backpack, carry two, right? We hear those. Okay, some of them we don't hear all the time. But some of them we hear quite sound. And I'm listening to those, and I'm thinking, this sounds like being a doormat for Jesus, doesn't it? You know? And in the past, I don't know how many battered women have been told that they've been told that by their pastors or other people in the church that, you know, just turn the other cheek and they get beaten, you know? And why would I give my last stitch of clothing to a creditor? Just give in to him like that, you know? And somehow carrying this backpack has been trivialized into just do it, get it over with, it doesn't matter, right? You think that's what Jesus really meant? Tell you what, let me assure you, there's no way that Jesus would have said, do not resist evil. He would have, you know. He always resisted evil. He always told his disciples to do that. So maybe he's trying to tell us a different way to approach evil when we see it, and that's what I want to talk about. Cecil, I want you to come up here so I can kind of use you as my volunteer. I won't hurt him very bad, I promise. All right, so Jesus says, if I strike, if somebody strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other cheek, right? So when we're thinking about this, we're thinking we've got this fist, right, and we're going to go like this and hit him, right? But that's actually, thank you, well, no, stay here for just a minute. That's actually what they're not what they're talking about. You have to know that back in those days, if you hit somebody like this, that means that you considered that they were equals. And in the case that we're talking about, that's not what this is talking about. So what people typically do is what they would do is they would go this way and backslap somebody because that meant that they were an inferior. Have you ever heard, if you don't sit in your chair and do what I'm supposed to, I'm going to backslap you? Have you ever heard that before? Absolutely, because it was used when you were talking to an inferior. So in those days, it would have been a superior talking to a subordinate. It could have been a parent talking to a child. It could have been a husband, of course, talking to a wife at that time. All right, and so, but Jesus says turn the other cheek. So I want you to turn the other cheek so I can't hit you this way. Turn that way. All right, I can't backslap him this way. The only way I could do it would be this way, which means he's an equal. So what hand would I have to use in order to hit him? That would be my left hand, right? What's the problem with using a left hand back in those days? That is correctly. It's considered unclean. So there's no way I could take this hand and I could backslap him because that would have been considered a big no-no in those days. So when Jesus said to turn the other cheek, he's not saying let him hit you. He's saying, you can't hit me. He's saying the only way you can hit me is if we are equals. So it was a way of demanding dignity from the, for the people that so often weren't accepted as dignified. So anyway, so that tells you that it's a non-violent defiance, of course, isn't it? But certainly wasn't saying be a doormat for Jesus and let's see how many times people can hit you, right? All right, let's talk about this. If a creditor takes you to court and sues you for your outer garment, give him your undergarment as well. You probably don't understand that very well. So the issue here is a collateral for a loan. Back in those days, Roman taxes were really, really high, and quite often the peasants couldn't afford to pay them on their land. And so they would have to go to the rich Romans or the rich other people and get a loan from them. And the problem with this is that they, guess what the rich people or the rich Romans would do? They'd do a very high tax rate. It could be up to 250%, and they wanted to do this, and guess why they wanted to charge this extraordinary interest rates? What would probably happen? Do you think they could pay the loan? No. They would end up defaulting on their loan, and when they did that, then the rich folks got what they wanted, right? They got the peasants' land, which is what they were after in the first place. And so the peasants knew, Jesus knew, that if the peasants went to court, there was no way they were going to win, because who were the laws written for then? You guys are so quiet today. Who were the laws, do you think, written for and by then? The rich folks. That sounds a little familiar, doesn't it? Right? So if they went to court, Jesus says, if you go to court then, go ahead, when they take your outer garment, that's the last thing they could take, by the way. They could go ahead and take their animals, and then they could take their farm, and the last thing they could take was actually their outer coat, right? And they were supposed to return that later at night because it was used for a blanket. So Jesus says, while you're in court then, by the way, go ahead and give them your undergarment too. You got any idea why? What would happen if they gave them their undergarment? What do you think they had on under it? Their birthday suit, absolutely. All right? So who is the table turned on then? Well, according to Jewish law, it's not the person that's naked. It's the person that's viewing the nakedness that is sinning. So Jesus says, that is the way that you reply to that violence. That is the way you reply. You take it off. And then the problem's back on the person that tried to take their money. Does that make a little bit more sense than what you typically read it? Or are you all sleeping? Must be that kind of day, right? Okay. One last one. I'll see if you can figure this one out yourself. If one of the occupation troops forces you to parry his backtrack 1 mile, carry it too. And that's because you're a good person, right? It's not? Okay. All the Roman roads had mile markers. We kind of have that now, don't we? Mile markers so you know where you are, even in the state of Kansas. And they were allowed, under the law, to let civilians carry their backpack 1 mile. I'm sure, Rob, you probably did that, didn't you? Made other people carry your backpack, I'm sure. And Gene, you probably did that too, I'm sure, right? If the civilians, the peasants, didn't do what they were asked, they could actually be thrown into jail because they were breaking the law. So Jesus says to them, all right, when they tell you to carry it a mile, I want you to carry it too. Why do you suppose that would be? Because what actually happens is if the soldiers allowed the peasants, force them to carry it more than 1 mile, guess who is in trouble? Because it's literally against the rules for them to carry it more than 1 mile. And so why Jesus told them that was defiance. And actually, from what I understand, it was a point of humor, actually, for Jesus to have said that. We may not see it, because you have to picture in your mind a Roman soldier who has this dignity chasing a peasant who's carrying his backpack down the road, trying to get it back to him before his commander gets him in trouble. So not one of these three things was talking about being a doormat for Jesus, but yet we play them out that way, don't we? Jesus is saying to them, okay, I understand that society, the way it's set up right now, doesn't look like that what you're doing is making any difference. But this one little act, he says, you can begin to have a little bit of dignity to people that were never given dignity, And it also is a sign that at some point there can be a new society that comes in even while the shell of this older society is falling away. And I got to thinking, aren't there times that we've all seen in our lifetimes when somebody's small, peaceful act has made a huge difference in the lives of others, you know? I was thinking actually about Rosa Parks, and, you know, sometimes we give her credit for a whole lot of things, but how many remember what Rosa Parks did? She did one simple little thing. What'd she do? She was tired. She was tired, no. She was tired and wouldn't get up. That's what he said. Right. She was on the bus. They wanted her to move because the seats were supposed to go to the white folks, right? She wouldn't do it, right? Because she was saying a defiant message that said, no, these seats are for everybody. Seemed like a small act, didn't it? But do you realize that a year later, the Supreme Court passed a law saying that all seats were equal on a bus? Small, defiant act, right? And guess what? She really wasn't tired. Do you know what she said? Here's what Rosa said. People always say, I didn't give up my seat because I was tired. But that isn't true. I was not physically tired, and no more tired than I usually was at the end of a working day. I was not old, although some people have the image of me being old because I was only 42. She's not old, let me guarantee you. She says, no, the only tired I was tired of giving in. And I think sometimes that's exactly what we need to do when I read these scriptures. You know, it is way too easy for us just to get in and say we cannot change one bit of violence that's in our world today, you know? That violence is the only way we'll ever be safe. And I would say it's just the opposite. As long as we believe that violence is the answer, we will never be safe. And I think that's what Jesus is trying to say to us today, that we have to quit accepting that that's it. And you know, and it's never going to come to be as we as Christians, of all people, don't believe that Jesus is the answer and that God can help us stop the violence in the world. But who's Jesus' hands in the world to do that? It's us, you know. We can advocate for others. We can bring about change. We can respect each other's dignity. I always want to sing, and save each one pride, because they'll know we're Christians, right? By our love? Is that how they know us? You know? I challenge you this week to try to do one thing, just one little thing, that's going to bring it to a more peaceful world. It can be something simple. It can be smiling at a stranger or somebody you never met. It can be going to the food pantry and helping because you believe that people that aren't hungry are more peaceful. And I would say that that's probably true. You can have the courage to pick up the 64 ways to be not to learn to be less violent, you know? Because a more peaceful tomorrow starts with each of you. That's what Jesus says. Jesus says, what does it mean if you just love the people that love you? Jesus says, love who? Love our enemies? I can think of a few officials I should say that to. Right? Love our enemies. So this week I want you to take that challenge to look at that. I can email it to you. I want you to think about it. I want to end with this. There was a holy man that was sitting and he was praying. And while he was doing this meditation under a tree, it started raining, kind of like last night, and the water started coming up, and he noticed that there was a scorpion, my favorite animal, that was down there, and it was about to drown. So he crawled out on this ledge, and he began to reach down to free the scorpion. But what happened, do you suppose, every time that he tried to free that scorpion? Scorpion tried to sting him, didn't he, right? And so a man stops by, and he's watching the holy man do this two or three times, and he says, don't you know that it's the nature of that scorpion that he wants to sting you? And the holy man said, yes, that might well be, but my nature is one to save, and I will not let the scorpion's desire not to change stop my desire to help. Let's take a minute and let's think about that.